हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So we heard last time of how, now we've heard how the Pandavas were appeared, and then how Duryodhana and his 100 brothers and one sister also appeared. So now then that brings us back to the Pandavas. On Sapta Shrota Mountain, spring had arrived. Surrounded by his 5 youthful sons, Pandu felt young again. He sported with the boys in the hills, scaling rock faces and challenging lions in their caves. Right, you know, standard Kshatriya sport. Go to the cave and roar, and then the lions, and you know, like this. Yeah, in other words, don't try this at home. Yeah. They dived and played in mountain pools and climbed tall trees. Wrestling and laughing together, they rolled about the soft, grassy slopes. One evening, Pandu went into the woods with Mandri to fetch roots and fruits for the evening meal. As they strolled, he saw countless varieties of blossoming trees and bushes. The air was heavy with scent, and the sounds of cuckoos and other birds filled the air. Black beads swarmed around the many-colored flowers that surrounded lakes overgrown with lotuses. The celestial atmosphere awoke romance in Pandu's heart. He gazed at the beautiful Mandri, his mind influenced by Cupid. So then, because he had become, you know, felt so youthful in that with the sons and all that. Remember before, because he became very renounced because of the curse of the Brahmin. And the Brahmin said, if you ever try to have children with your wife yourself, then again, you know, then he'll have that problem where then, just like this sage died, then Pandu will die. So now with time, and we see by the arrangement of the Lord and the time factor, then the spring came, this very nice atmosphere, and then Pandu developed these kind of desires. So then we see that he approaches Mandri, his second wife. And so then she tries to, Mandri at once understood what was in Pandu's heart. His amorous touch electrified her, but she was bewildered by conflicting feelings. Out of fear of the curse, he had carefully avoided any physical contact with either her or Kunti for a long time. Mandri tried to push her husband away. Pandu smiled, incited further by her protests. And so then Pandu then approached Mandri, and because of this, then he died by the curse. Pandu's chest was seized with a terrible pain, and a shock looked across his face, because he forgot about this. That's the whole thing. By the arrangement of time, he forgot about the curse. And so that's the difficulty, is that we always have to be aware and absorbed in Krishna and take shelter of Krishna, because then he can adjust the effect of the modes. By ourselves, by the modes of nature, we'll always have the better of us, because we're small and material nature is big. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then we see is that we can go beyond that. So he was a bit surprised, because he had forgotten about this, and then when he sees that his, you know, this whole thing of him dying, then he remembers the whole thing. His body stiffened and went slack. As Pandu's lifeless body fell from hers, Mandri let out a wail of sorrow. Her worst fears had been realized. Despite all her protests, she had not been able to prevent her husband's death. The distraught queen repeatedly embraced her dead husband and lamented loudly. Kunti heard Madri's cries and ran there where she lay. As Kunti approached, the tearful Madri told her to come alone without the children. Kunti quickly sent the boys back to the ashram, then rushed to Pandu's side. She dropped to the ground, realizing at once what had happened. Kunti cried out piteously, "My lord!" Tears welled in her eyes as she turned to Madri. "Noble lady, how have you allowed this to happen? I was always so careful to protect our lord from this very danger. How did he embrace you, knowing of the Rishi's curse?" Madri wept, unable to reply. Kunti tossed about on the ground next to her husband. The two beautiful ladies embraced their husband's dead body and shed profuse tears. Kunti again addressed Madri. "O princess of Madra, you are surely more fortunate than I. For you saw our lord's face light up with joy." Gathering her senses, Madri replied, "Sweet sisters," with tears in her eyes, "I tried to resist him, yet he could not control himself." Kunti prayed for strength. Somehow this was God's arrangement. The ways of providence were always mysterious, right? Because Krishna has some plan how this whole pastime is going to work out. And the glory of it, as we see, is that how the Pandavas, they grew up, they didn't have, you know, proper shelter in the kingdom. Their only, you know, real shelter was amongst themselves in Vidura. And all this just adds to the pastime. But you see is that despite these situations, in the end, they are victorious. So somehow or another, that's why when things take change and differences in the way things work out, we shouldn't be too distressed, because Krishna has some plan. The idea is that the material energy is designed so that we gradually come back to him. And so whatever arrangements there, then that will bring us closer to Krishna. So in this way, this also then makes them very serious about their Krishna consciousness. What should be done now? What was her duty? She gently stroked the head of a younger co-wife and said, "There's only recourse for me. Please allow me to ascend to heaven with our Lord. Rise up and raise our children. Give me the body and tightly embrace it. I shall enter fire." Madri shook her head. She pleaded with Kunti, "The monarch died as he approached me. His desire was not satiated. Should it not be I who goes to the region of death to gratify him? I am still clasping him even now and will not allow him to go without me. O queen, please let me go." Madri felt incapable of bringing up the children by herself. Kunti would be a far better mother. Madri had seen her gentle dealings with the boys. She would treat them all equally, right? Because Madri didn't feel she could take care of all of them nicely. You know, with her own son she was, with the other ones she didn't have quite the same affection. But she saw that in Kunti she had the equal affection for all the five boys. So she understood she'll be a better mother. Madri wouldn't. So if Kunti went with Pandu, then the children wouldn't get the best upbringing. But if Madri went and Kunti stayed, then the boys would get the best upbringing. You know, because the whole element of just that time spent, the interaction, the relationships, that energy put in, that's what actually makes everything very wonderful. Madri begged Kunti's permission to enter the fire with Pandu. "You would be doing me the greatest good. Although heartbroken at the thought of leaving them, her children, I shall leave my sons in your care without any fear." So she'll feel bad leaving the sons to go with the husband, but she won't have any fear that they won't be taken care of. She's sure that they'll be taken care of nicely. Kunti looked compassionately upon Madri as she lay with her arms around Pandu, bathing him with her tears. The noble Kunti's heart was torn. Although as the elder wife, it was her privilege to choose to follow the king to the next world, how could she deny Madri? It was to her that Pandu had been attracted. Although she longed to follow her husband, Kunti could not be so cruel to her cruel wife. She touched Madri gently and said, "So be it." Kunti then went with a heavy heart towards the ashram. When the boys heard of their father's death, they were struck with grief. They ran crying to where he lay and fell on the ground like powerful lions rolling on the earth. Madri blessed them tearfully and told them that she would be ascending the pyre with her husband. She asked her two sons to remain with Kunti and to serve her steadfastly. The boys were too shocked to reply. They watched as the rishis built a pyre next to the king's body, then, reciting mantras, placed his body upon it. They asked Yudhishthir to step forward. The prince, blinded by tears, set fire to the pyre and stood back, right? Because the eldest son, he lights the pyre. So, they, you know, you arrange the wood nicely, then you know, with all the different rituals and mantras, then the body is placed there, and then, the general thing, the eldest son lights the fire. And that, because there's this aspect, is that there's the attachment, because the relationship between the two living entities has been expressed through the body. But at the same time, the body is not actually who you're relating to. You're relating from one soul to another. But being through the medium of the body, then we have a tendency to think that the body is the person, but it's actually the soul is the person. Only in the spiritual world, the body is the person. They have a spiritual body. So what you see there, that is them. So Krishna, that is him. His form is him, Radharani. That is her, Rupa Goswami and Rati. That is them. But in the material world, the soul and the body are separate. It's a material covering over the spiritual soul. So therefore, at these ceremonies like this, the funeral ceremony, then the idea is that the body being burnt, then you understand it's not the person. And it removes that attachment and everything like that. So then one can think about it in a spiritual way. So as the flames rose, Madri folded her palms and then threw herself onto her lord's body, holding tight as the fire consumed them both. Within minutes, both she and Pandu were gone. So you have this aspect, is that previous times then it would be practiced. It's called the sati, where the wife, you know, then there was someone, if there were no children or the children were grown up, then she would follow the husband in death. Because wherever he goes, she'll go. So if he goes to the heavenly planet, she goes to the heavenly planets. Even if he's done all the different yajnas and piety, she gets the benefit. But here we can see from the mood between Kunti and Madri with Pandu, is that the feeling of separation is that fire of separation is much greater than the actual fire of the wood burning. So they're not afraid of that fire. They just see the husband, and they know this is the door through which he'll go. Yeah, so they just follow. So they don't notice the fire. So if you have a situation where the girl is noticing the fire, then it shouldn't be done. Because she's not going to be thinking of the husband, she's just going to be thinking of the fire. So we see is that in the last some hundreds of years, then the British in India then stopped the practice because it wouldn't be used properly. Relatives would expect this to happen, but the girl didn't have that training or attitude. They didn't have the proper training. You know, so just due to lack of training, it wasn't used. But it's a bona fide system that should be appreciated. But we see is that if that attitude's not there, it's not important. And for us, as devotees, it's not as important, because then we're trying to go back to Godhead. We're not trying to go to the heavenly planets or like that. So then it's just a matter of being absorbed in Krishna and chanting and hearing and in the association of Vaishnavas. And then by that, then one in this way, individually then goes back to Godhead. So for the Vaishnavas, it means here they're Vaishnavas, they're devotees, but they're also setting the example in the Vedic standard like that, because these are pastimes that keep going on and on. So every universe they're going on, it's like a road show. But for us, it's not part of the road show. We're just trying to become Krishna conscious. For some time, Kunti could say or do nothing. She stood staring at the dying embers of the pyre, surrounded by the five boys. Finally, she drew a deep breath and went slowly over to the rishis. In a broken voice, she asked, "What is my duty now?" Right? Because she has to raise the kids, but she doesn't have someone who's taking care of her. Right? She takes care of the kids, someone takes care of her. That's the system. Right? So she takes care of the kids, Pandu takes care of her, the rishis take care of Pandu. Right, the Lord takes care of the rishis, so you know. So now she's, you know, since Pandu, so how is this working now? The rishis advised Kunti to return to Hastinapur with her boys as soon as possible. They told her they would accompany her, carrying the remains of Pandu and Madri with them. Right, because then after you have the ashes, so then the ashes are collected, and then you put them into the Ganga or Jamuna, like that. So then next to Hastinapur, then you'll have the Jamuna, like that, isn't it? Jamuna is there, or Ganga is there? Jamuna, I think, yes. So then they'll take there, and then there in Hastinapur, they would do the funeral rites, because right? He's, you know, because technically he's the king. And so then, you know, then all that would be taken care of there. The large numbers of rishis, siddhas, and charanas formed a procession, walking ahead of Kunti with her sons. Right, so it wasn't just, these are celestial rishis, right? Rishis, siddhas, charanas, they're all from the higher planets. So this area, this Sapta, what was it called? Sapta Shrota. So yeah, Thousand Peak Mountain. So there, it'll be within these higher regions that only the most qualified people can go to. So it wouldn't be something that we can, book an excursion on like that. You know, like going up to, you know, Everest or something. You know, like that. So these great personalities, then they'll take. And then when they go, we always see is that the Brahmins will lead. The Kshatriyas will follow that, so then you always know the Kshatriyas are having proper course. So then they're going in the front, then Kunti and her sons are going behind. By their mystic powers, they all arrived at Hastinapur within a short time. So they start off walking, but by their mystic powers, that walking, then they're at Hastinapur within a few moments. So it's just, you start that mood, you start the walking, and then they're there. So it's not they just sit here, and, oh, I'll go there and I'll go here. It's a matter of there's that mood, there's the endeavor, there's that effort, and so they're going to walk to Hastinapur, but by the mystic city, it only takes a few minutes to get there, like that. Kunti then presented herself at the northern gate, and messengers ran swiftly to inform the king. Right, so they've come to the northern gate, right? And so then from there, because different persons will come in at different places. Kshatriyas will come in at one, the Brahmins will come in at one, the other, like, so everybody has the gate. That way then you know who's arriving. Upon hearing of her arrival, Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, Satyavati, and all the other Kuru elders hurried to the gate, followed by a large number of citizens who had heard that an assembly of celestials had arrived, right? Because they say Kunti's there. But Kunti has arrived with all these celestials, right? So then there must be something going on. Right, you know, where, you know, where's Pandu, where, you know, what's going on? No one really understands. Everyone was struck with wonder to see the brilliant rishis surrounded by siddhas and charanas. People came out in the thousands to see those divine beings. Dhritarashtra, along with his 100 sons, bowed before the rishis. Bhishma and the others also offered their respects to the sages, and again offering them seats, sat before them on silk mats spread out on the ground. Right, so you see is that these royal receptions, they had all those facilities. That means they're arranging it, means, and they have people to arrange it. So all the assistants and all that, they're able to bring all those things, put them all down. So it's all happening. It's not that it takes 2 hours to get this and someone's yelling and screaming, and hey, I told you there was 120 of them, you only brought, you know, 90, you know, go back and get another 30. No, those things aren't happening. So it's just they come out, they do all these things. It's, you know, it works, because that's the whole point of when everything's based on people and everyone's properly trained and there's good leadership, then everything goes at its best, because it's efficient, but it's still personal, right? So we have to be very careful of getting into aspects where we cut out the people involved. And then from that, it seems to be efficient, but then it doesn't develop the relationships, cultivate, engage people and everything like that. So we see here is that the Vedic system, they were able to make these wonderful arrangements in very, very quickly. When the crowd is finally settled, Bhishma went forward and worshipped the rishis by bathing their feet and offering them the sacred argya. Right, so it's not that everyone's yelling, screaming, running around, he's trying to interact with the sages. No, everybody's there, it's peaceful, you get everything arranged, they're all seated, you have your places, there's people in the crowds that are telling them to be quiet and that, and And then, so then everything that is nice, now you address the sages. Because if you're just trying to interact, then that means they're not getting the full respect, the sages. The sages deserve the respect of everyone there, the kshatriyas and their citizens. So then it's all arranged like that. And people being trained, they want to hear. He answered their inquiries about the kingdom's welfare, saying that everything was well, right? Because they'll naturally ask how the kingdom is going, how things are going. Then one of the leading rishis stood up and addressed the Kuru elders, right? So they ask how everything's going, how everything's like this and that, and that. And then now one of the leading rishis stood up. Then he is saying, the virtuous monarch went to the Saptashrota mountain to observe the vow of celibacy. Somehow, by the Lord's inscrutable plan and the arrangement of the gods, his five sons were born. The Rishi introduced each of Pandu's sons and revealed the identities of their divine fathers. Right, so you're there and saying, "Here's Yudhishthira. Right, his father is Yamaraj, and then you know Vayu, and that you know people are going to be struck with wonder." And the sages are saying that, so Duryodhana, and they can't feel bad about it, you know. It means they can feel bad, but they can't, no, you're just saying this and all that. No, it has to be. He told them how the boys had been trained in Vedic knowledge and had grown to youthhood in the company of rishis and siddhas. Right, so they had the best of association, best training from these siddhas, and now these rishis and siddhas, and now, you know, in their association, they learned, they grew up, they learned everything what they needed to know. Glancing around the large concourse of men who had assembled outside the city, right? Concourse just means a very large gathering. The rishi said, steadily adhering to virtue and leaving behind him these children, Pandu had ascended to the higher worlds. The chaste Madri has gone with him. Now his son should be accepted as the kingdom's rightful heirs. Right, because he's supposed to be the king. His brother was this there because he's, you know, so someone has to do the day-to-day management. And so then, you know, Ananda Bhishma then is there. Because the point was, as he goes to the forest, when his sons are there, then his sons will then take care of things, right? So now they're here, they should be the rightful heirs to the throne. The rishi pointed to a briar lying nearby, covered with a white cloth, right? So there was something there. Here are the remains of Pandu and his wife. Perform the funeral rites and accept his sons as if they were your own. We shall now depart, right? So the Kuru dynasty is there, they're Kurus. And so then they're asking him, they're the rightful heirs, take care of the funeral rites for Pandu and accept them as a member of the community. When the rishi stopped speaking, he, along with all the other rishis and celestial beings, vanished. In astonishment, the citizens returned to their homes, right? Because if they just walked off, you might think, okay, this and that. But to bring it home that they are of that stature, they're celestial beings, what they say is truth and correct, then they just disappear. Right, so we saw with Kunti and that, they started walking, and then by the mystic powers, they're there, but just by walking, but they're there in a few moments. But here, because they're dealing with everyone else, and they have to establish their authority and everything, then when they're finished, they just disappear, and they're gone. So then everybody knows, okay, these guys are for real. In astonishment, the citizens returned to their homes. Bhishma then led Kunti and the boys into the city, and arranged for their accommodation in a royal palace. Right, so Bhishma then, you see, he's taking care. Dhritarashtra ordered the funeral rites to be performed and declared a state of mourning in the city for 12 days. Right, so 12 days is for the Kshatriyas. Right? Is it? Yeah. So then Dhritarashtra took care of that because that was the royal things, and then Bhishma took care of Kunti and the Pandavas. You know, so everyone did according to their thing. Because here, being the king, is actually a state affair. So that has to be arranged by the state for the funeral. The Kurus were distracted with grief over the loss of Pandu. All the citizens had dearly loved Pandu, and they loudly lamented. Pandu's five sons, known as the Pandavas, lay on the bare ground for 12 days, giving full vent to their grief. They did not accept royal comforts or beds, and they wept along with the Kuru elders, right? So the idea of that time period that is called the Saucha or the impure period means that during that time, then you can lament, do all those things, let all those feelings out and all those kind of aspects like that, and because after the 12 days, then you have to get back to standard work and move on. So the idea is that those feelings are there, let them come out, let them be dealt with, but then you have to move forward, right? Because as we mentioned before, we're actually not the body, we're the soul, so you have to work on that platform. So you do have the thing. So the Vedic accommodates, but in such a way that everything's taken care of and you can progress forward. Right? Otherwise, if you just ignore it, it may come up later. And if you just don't limit it, it may just go on forever. So it has its very specific thing. So when it says 12, that does work for the Kshatriyas. Like that, you know, then like that. Right? So they don't have the royal comforts of this, nice food, because they're not interested. And then after that, they'll get back to their general life. The end of the mourning period, the Kurus perform Pandushrata ceremony. They distributed vast amounts of food and wealth to the Brahmins on behalf of the departed souls. Right? Because you do all these nice, auspicious things. All that piety goes to then, you know, Pandu and his wife. Then life returned to normal in Hastinapur, and Pandu's sons took their place in the royal family, right? Because after that, then everybody, you get back to things and move on. It was at that time that Vyas chose to again appear in the city. He spoke privately to the bereaved and sorrowful Satyavati. Dear mother, fearful and terrible times lie ahead. The dark age of Kali now approaches. Sin increases day by day. Soon, by the acts of the evil Kurus, your race will be destroyed and a great havoc will be wrought in the world, right? Because you see, he's foretelling that Duryodhana is going to make so much trouble, you know, backed by Dhritarashtra, and then everything's just going to go. It'll end in the Battle of Kurukshetra. The whole dynasty is basically destroyed. So she was so worried, Satyavati, that the dynasty would go on nicely. Therefore, she arranged that then through Niyoga, for these boys would be born and I think they would be the grandchildren, right? Because she was with Santanu. And so then their child, and then now like that, so the grandchildren. And now we see the great-grandchildren are there. But so Vyasa is pointing out that now, you know, it's been nice. It's been the Dwapara has had its major influence. And now they're so close to the edge of Kali, even though it's Dwapara, it's still on the edge, that the flavor of Kali is starting to come in. And so Vyas advised his mother to immediately retire to the forest rather than staying to witness the pain and horror that would soon follow, right? Because she spent so much trouble trying to get everything to run nicely. So he's saying, since it's already, you know, even with grandchildren, you can go to the forest, but now it's great-grandchildren. So he's saying, now he advises come to the forest. She would devote herself to yoga practice and meditation. She should. After Vyas left, Satyavati reflected on his words. She decided to follow his advice. She told her two daughters-in-law of her intentions and asked Pandu's heartbroken mother, Ambalika, to accompany her. Right, because Pandu's gone, because otherwise then the mother could say, because the son's there. But now, you know, the grandsons are there, so she can either stay at home or retire, but the husband's already gone. So, but now she's saying now it's gone on, and so Pandu's gone, the grandchildren are there, they'll take care. And so then that she should come with her. The two royal ladies soon left for the forest to dedicate themselves to asceticism. In time, they gave it the bodies and went joyfully to the higher regions. Ambika remained in Hastinapur with her son, Dhritarashtra. Right? Because so Ambalika, her son was Pandu, but Ambika, her son was still there. And so then they remained. Okay. So then that is then, you know, and how the Pandavas come to Hastinapur, how they're situated, how the sages. And then the next chapter, Duryodhana begins his evil scheme. So now you see all the different tricks will come up of Duryodhana and that rivalry between him and the Pandavas. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.